Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Minnesota Swim and Vibecast. I am Mark Seguin and joined by special guest today, swimfluencer Kyle Sockwell.
Welcome, thanks for Kyle. Having me. Thanks for having me. I like that title.
I do too. I just was thinking about that. I'm like, what exactly does Kyle do? Is it swim media, swim guy? But then I'm like, he's an influencer.
That's a good question. And it's one that I don't think I've figured out quite yet. I feel like I am just kind of consistently evolving, not necessarily always upwards, sometimes sideways, sometimes down, I would think. But I think that's also okay. It's kind of the story of a swimming career as well, right? You're not always going best times. Sometimes you go the same time. Sometimes you're not suited up. I was suited up against Herbie, and it, you know, I don't know that the suit was going to do enough to help me go the time that I needed to go. Definitely didn't. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of an evolution. I don't think I'm at the final form, which is good, but who knows what that'll be.
Yeah, I don't think you are either. I think it's something brand new that we all are trying to digest what it is, but yeah. I think it's a welcome add-on.
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like we're all kind of doing this together, which is fun. And I think most people are rooting for it because it is fresh, it's interesting. But yeah, it's fun because I kind of feel like, you know, when I'm looking at the content, I feel like when I consume it, I'm kind of enjoying it as well, which is a really good litmus test for me to look at the content that I'm putting out. And if I watch it back and I'm like, I like that, even if it wasn't me in the video, that's kind of the goal for all the content that I put out. If I watch it back and I don't think it's entertaining the first time that I watch it when it's live, then we got to think about it for the next one.
Right on. So give us a little on your background and how you even decided to get into this.
It was a slow burn, a really slow burn. I started with, I think it was Vine. I guess I'm getting into the point where my memory of the journey is escaping me, but I think it was Vine back in the day. It could have been Twitter. It was one of the two. Eventually Twitter bought Vine, became X at this point, and then pretty much just squashed it. But we'll go with the idea that it started on Vine. I just started making bad content. I like to look at it for what it was. It was just meme-y, like, and not that that's bad. It was just as much engagement farmy content as possible. Yeah. When this happens in swimming, this, and I still do some of that. And it started hitting. You know, the first content that I made was on camera, and then I went off camera for a really long time. Started doing Twitter, started doing, you know, some live reacting, some live analysis, just some general analysis, and providing, I think, a different vocal perspective, even in written form for the sport, one that was a little bit less filtered, pretty much not filtered at all, not necessarily always PC, you know, just a little bit more real, and trying to give people that voice of reality in swimming that I think we escape from sometimes and tend to get into the, this is what people want to hear, this is what the community wants to hear, this is nice, this is friendly, this is fun. I like to be, this is real, this is aggressive, this is fun. And just like leaning into the unnecessary, like, ridiculousness of some of the other avenues of content that you see online, in different niches and different sports. Rolled all the way into about a year ago. I think around a year ago, I would say. Made my first video, which the only reason that that went out was because of one of my friends. He works in the video space. He creates beautiful commercials and just content in general. So I sat down with him. I bought him a beer and I said, hey, what kind of camera should I get? And he pretty much told me to shut up, film on my iPhone, post something terrible, and then watch it back after it's live. I did that. Posted it, watched it back after it was live, and I got it. Everything clicked. Once something goes up that you've worked on, that you're nervous about, and you get to watch it back for the first time, regardless of whether or not you like to hear your own voice, I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of in between. You know, I don't mind it, but I also, you know, I don't want to listen to it for fun. Watched it back, and everything seemed more clear. You know, once it's live, you can't change anything. It's out there. And in that reality, a veil kind of fell and I saw 9 things that I wanted to change for the next one, which gave me that drive to want to do the next video, the next video, the next video, and continue learning to the point where I developed who I am online, developed my personality in the space. Even if it is 90% me and 10% Hollywood, I think in swimming, we look at entertainment as something that is bad because it is inauthentic, when in reality, a lot of the inauthenticity comes from us in post-race interviews and stuff like that, where we're for some reason asked how we thought our race went when everyone knows that it was bad. And then we tell them that we're excited, happy to be there and need to go warm down. And that's all we hear. So I just want to bring some entertainment to the sport. I think that's kind of what I've been boiled down to at this point on my own doing, is just trying to become entertainment and create fun and create excitement in a sport that for a long time has just been a sport where you do it and you move on, practice, you do it again. And every 4 years you get a shot at glory.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're also showing a level of authenticity to the sport. Like, to me, if I look at what defined the sport, it's like what goes on in practice, right? That's like the real stuff. And you have that kind of feel, right? Like it's fun, but it's serious and it's hard, but at the same time you have to step back.
Yeah.
And that feels like it's your style. And that feels really, really good to a lot of people that are in the sport or have been in the sport.
Yeah, I think Instagram is such an interesting place. It's a place where you can post all of your best stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can create the best version of yourself. And I feel like swimming has been Instagram for a long time. And one of the things that I really like to do is bring a level of authenticity in losing and in being yourself and in making mistakes. I make mistakes when I talk every single video I record. And I chopped them out for a long time. And then a part of my brand now is that I leave them in and I throw some funny editing on it and kind of self-deprecate. And it's not really in defense of people telling me that I don't talk good, you know, to laugh at yourself first. You can definitely do that. It's more so a, let's laugh at ourselves a little bit. We're such a serious sport where if we don't do exactly what we want to do and what we wrote on the paper that's had goals at the top of it at the beginning of the season, it's a loss. We completely lost, right? One of the things that really interested me recently, and this kind of goes to that level of authenticity and how it can create brand power within a sport, within any sort of facet of, you know, anything that you're trying to sell in life, is Sean O'Malley is a UFC fighter in the bantamweight division. He's the UFC champion now. But the most interesting part of his story is that I think even pre-UFC ranking, so they ranked the top 15, I think, pre-UFC ranking, Sean O'Malley was probably making more money than anybody in the bantamweight division just because of his authentic personality, his humor, and then eventually his striking ability, his takedown defense, his grappling. In swimming, we rely so heavily and almost completely on our takedown defense, on our grappling, on our striking, on our batting average, our slugging percentage, our...
It's basically time. That's all
exactly.
We got.
We are our times. And I think there is a huge gap in the market in swimming for personality to come out. And for someone that is, I always say that I won't believe that swimming is at a healthy place as a sport until someone that semifinals at NCAAs, or not NCAAs, semifinals at Olympic trials or B finals at NCAAs is able to make a living off of the sport. Right now, you don't even make money off the sport. If you B final at NCAAs, if you semifinal at Olympic trials, I want them to make a living. We're talking $50,000 to $60,000, and then I think we're in a good spot. The way that you do that is you start to build that level of Sean O'Malley in swimming, not necessarily the WWE persona, but really all you need to be is authentic. You need to lean into this, which is a huge revenue driver for athletes. And one of my favorite things to say is, you're allowed to complain about not making money in swimming if you've exhausted all of your opportunities to do so. Yeah, 99% of the people in swimming, including myself for a long time, really like to talk about how they should be making more money. And then if you go look at the content they're putting out, the brand that they've built themselves, there's not a lot of effort being put in anywhere other than in the pool. And if you're not Caleb Dressel or Katie Ledecky or some of those ridiculous names that are pushing the sport to points that we never thought possible, it's not going to be enough.
Ain't that the truth? If you're a B finalist at NCAAs, you're not going to get swim cred, mm-hmm. right? You're not even going to get a sub bullet in an article, mm-hmm. much less make 50, 60 grand a year.
Yeah. And I would argue that you don't deserve it either, right? Yeah. In media, and people are probably going to get mad about that phrase, but I make these decisions on a daily basis. When you put a piece of content out, I have 65,000 followers on Instagram. When I put out a piece of content, I have made the decision for 65,000 people that I am going to put that in front of them.
Yeah.
If I put something in front of you that you don't like or isn't the best of the best, I have made a decision to put a piece of content in front of you that you do not like. You might not come back next time. If I do that twice, you're probably not coming back the third time. That's the way these decisions work. And we can get upset all we want that we're not put into a position where we are front and center, you know, front page news. Reality is reality, though. If you build that brand for yourself and you are an exciting personality and you tell your story and you have other intangibles that someone that got fourth in the A final at NCAAs doesn't have, you might get talked about when you're in 10th, yeah. when you're in 15th, if you don't make NCAAs. But to act like, and we do see this, to act like you deserve to be put into an article, right? Or deserve to be talked about is just not reality. And it is not reality in any other sport either. So,
right. And it's, I would think the swim community, the people that follow swimming, are looking for these people. They want someone to fill that space, mm-hmm. right?
100%.
Because there's a huge gap between your Phelpsian talent and what's one level below that.
Ooh, I think everybody's a level below that, right? So you probably just go to Caleb Dressel or Katie Ledecky, which is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's how good he was.
He was amazing. What do you plan for trials and Paris?
Great question. It's super fluid right now. I've been talking to USA Swimming. The reality is that going to Paris would be really expensive. And right now, in a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, I'm prioritizing this right here, prioritizing what happens close by when I'm at a pool. And to spend $10,000 going to Paris would be, I think, in my opinion, very selfish. But if someone's going to foot the bill and get me out there, and I'm not going to say no to that. No, I'll figure it out once I get out there. But it's a business game, and people reach out to me all the time and ask me why I'm not here and why I'm not there. And it is as simple as I perform at my best in this seat that I'm in right now, watching a meet and creating content that way. I would love to learn how to create content on site and have a team that I could take out there with me. Eventually, I'm expecting that to be the reality with the way that things are pacing right now. Yep. It's not the reality right now. So Olympic trials sounds like it's going to be really fun. It's a once every 4 years type situation. So it's one that I want to jump all over. But if that means I'm doing it from here or if it means I'm doing it from Indy, I think both of those scenarios can be hyper successful. I would love to be on site and I would love to have full access and be able to swim in an A final in lane 9, but that's probably not going to be a reality. Swimming in between sessions, I'll leave that Easter egg out there. Maybe I'll be in the main pool. Maybe I'll be creating some content around that, but we'll leave that up to the imagination.
We will be rooting for you to get to Indy and Paris too, to be honest with you. But like you said, even if you're in that seat, you're going to be dynamite. NCAAs over the top amazing.
I appreciate it.
You were there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was my first shot at really giving it my all. I posted on my Instagram and kind of told this story. At the end of 2023, I was pretty much done. Pretty much done with swimming media. Just because, I mean, full transparency, even at this point, you know, you're not rolling in cash. 99.99999% of people in swimming media don't make any money doing it. 0.00001% make a dollar. And then you've got some people that are making a good living, maybe two, right? And that's the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing, is because I wish more than anything someone had already done it before me, because it would have made the path easier. I think the first person to get there is going to be rewarded heavily, but at the same time, the path would have been a lot quicker. I always tell my friends, you know, if I was in the position that I'm in baseball or in football or in basketball, this would be a conversation that I would be having with you from my penthouse downtown in Austin.
Yeah.
Right. But that is one of the things that I think has held this sport back for a long time, is that no one's figured out, no one's cracked the code on how to make money in media in the sport outside of being SwimSwam or Swimming World, right? I think they've done a great job aggregating news to the point where you can follow this crazy complex spiderweb of a sport a little bit easier, but now we have to inject the entertainment.
Yeah.
Without entertainment in the sport, it's not fun to follow, especially for someone that isn't into the data. I am obsessed with the data, and I have to tell myself to pull back a lot, because me sitting here talking to a camera only about the data and swimming is just going to be feeding the same beast that already exists.
Yeah.
I can have maybe a two-prong channel eventually, could be a little bit of a teaser, to where one is me just getting to nerd out unedited, just a raw clip of 20 minutes of me talking about splits and talking about swimming in that way that the people within the sport can digest. And then on top of that, there is another entity, another arm, another beast in and of itself that is me just being entertaining, which for some reason pisses some people off in swimming. If you lean too much into the entertainment, they start to get a little bit aggravated. But I think now that there is some movement behind it and some momentum behind it, people are starting to kind of wake up and understand that if we want this sport to move forward and if we want this sport to honestly survive, we need to be entertaining, and we need to make some really difficult decisions that eventually could be decisions that were difficult at the time, but led to some serious growth in the future.
100% agree, right? Look at where golf was.
Mm-hmm.
15 years ago, all stuffy and serious, and they really loosened it up a little bit to broaden the exposure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's our turn.
I think it is. I think it's our turn. I think it is our reality. I think we really, it's our only choice. If we keep doing what we're doing, eventually I expect the sport to be a shell of what it even is right now. One of the things that I put out, and one of the opinions that I have on the sport and I put out quite often, is one of the things that I hear all the time is that we should have better streaming. And it kind of goes back to that conversation we just had a second ago about people expecting to have more money and complaining that they don't have more money with how good they are at the sport. We're so good and we're so fast that we deserve this. That's not how business works.
You don't generate revenue, you don't make money.
100%. So we really don't deserve 90% of the streaming quality that we get. We really don't deserve it at the NCAA level. We're just kind of looped in a package with a lot of other sports. But what we see is Olympic trials, and we see USA Swimming actually does a really good job with their production pretty consistently. And I think they should get a little bit more credit for that. We see those great productions, and then we see a dual meet in the NCAA, and we're like, why is this not produced as well as it is? Well, there's 12 people in the stands, and we're swimming four heats of the 1,000, and we're expecting people to watch. No. I go get coffee during four heats of the 1,000.
Who doesn't?
I go make a sandwich during four heats of the 1,000. It just kind of goes back to those difficult decisions that we should have made 25 years ago or 30 years ago that now we need to make within the next year or two and ride this momentum out of 2024 with the momentum that we got out of the end of NCAA's last year. There's going to be a lot of excitement and a lot more eyeballs on the sport in 2025 than we've probably ever had in the NCAA.
Yeah.
Now we just need to catalyze that and really emphasize the fact that this is our opportunity. This is it. The more eyeballs you have on a product, the more people that are making decisions on whether or not they want to watch again. You got to deliver a high quality product once you get those eyeballs there.
100%. Thank you so much for your time today. You are amazing. I will be front row for your Hall of Fame speech when you get there.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
the swim media. You're hitting so many things right in one man's opinion. The sport needs it. I thank you for it and keep plugging away.
I appreciate it. It's a tough battle. It's a long journey, one that's way longer than I thought it would be. But I think the journey's starting to get fun. And I think, you know, we've really hit that hockey stick, and eventually it's just going to be making decisions on what I want to do, not trying to manufacture decisions to be made.
That's so cool, man. All right. Take care. I appreciate it.
Love it. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mark.